Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in, watching the program today on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. In this hour, we'll have in-pocket plays coming up a little early. That's 15 minutes from right now. That's because Dan Lieberfeld's going to join the program. He was in studio last week. He's awesome. He covers the Jets and the NFL for Sirius XM NFL Radio, and we'll get into these coaching moves and who he likes this weekend in the playoff games. We'll hit some NBA here. It's a seven-game card tonight. We have three double-digit favorites, and the Pistons, like, the people are begging them, or bettors are like, oh, we might put them to a double-digit favorite. They're at 9.5 right now in their game. One of those games is Indiana playing at the Celtics. Indiana is 13-24 straight up and 8-28-1 against the spread in their fourth game in six-day scenario since November of 2024. They're also 15-4 over that total. So the Celtics are 10.5. Total is 226. I want to look at this from a three-point prop perspective with Boston. Mm-hmm. And I think you can go to war with four guys in this game. And honestly, I think that you could win like three of them because they're all priced at 2.5 tonight with the props, the threes. And three of them are around plus money or thereabouts. Now, I have to point this out. The Pacers are the second best team with three-point field goal defense in the league. And they just played not that long ago, and they beat Boston 98-96. There was no Jaylen Brown in that game. The Celtics did beat Indiana earlier this year, 140-122, with Jaylen Brown. In that game, Pritchard had 29 and three threes. White had 21, had three threes. Hauser had 23, 7 of 8 from downtown. Simons had 8 points, was 2 of 6. Sam Hauser recently from downtown, 4 of 7, 10 of 21, 3 of 8, and 2 of 7 against Indy in that loss. But he's averaged 4 makes on 8.7 attempts in 9 January games, over 2.5 in 6 of those. Pritchard's been dialed back a little bit recently. Derek White's actually the guy I want to avoid because he's been in a slump shooting. Simons has been kind of blistering hot. So
yeah.
I think you can approach it many ways. To me, the number now on Sam Hauser, he's a guy that I looked at to begin the season, then failed a bunch of times, disappointed with his prop on going over. I think like over 2.5 in him tonight, like around -113, I think that makes some sense here.
Brown's been unbelievable. The coaching staff's been phenomenal. I keep asking the question, is this sustainable? And they keep winning games. And certainly they got the help here that the Knicks have been a dumpster fire. So I think the Celtics are going to win the division. And the question is, when does Tatum come back? But they're near the bottom in pace. They don't get to the free throw line, but they have so many guys and they take so many threes and they're great with the offensive rebounding. That's why this record is where it's at and how Brown is playing out of his mind. The questions you have, which how many minutes does Tatum get when he comes back? How do they work him back in? All that stuff and all that business. But for them to be playing like this in this record, when most people, and I agree, thought they'd be a play-in team, maybe if lucky, how well they're playing, but how they're bombs away with three, they keep going in and they're great on the glass, even though the pace is down, they don't get to the free throw line, how they keep winning games in the season they're having.
What are you hearing on the possible return date for Tatum? Would it be playoff time? Would it be
April?
So right around playoff time?
He just did a workout he did in front of the media.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it was
not like I have a huge number on Jaylen Brown to win the MVP because of how they were playing so well and he was the catalyst the entire time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think he can win it, to be honest. He's not bettable at the number right now. I think it's going to come down to SGA clearly being the short shot and probably Cunningham the way it looks now, the way it's playing out.
Yes, the Luka number's ridiculous. Yeah, Cunningham would have a case if they get the one seed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but they're a... Is Mazzulla coach of the year then? To be able to do this without Tatum?
It's going to be Bickerstaff.
Okay.
I think especially the way Detroit's playing, if they get the one seed.
All right. That's fair. Cavaliers at the Hornets tonight. Cleveland laying 3 in this spot. Charlotte 10-36 straight up. 15-30-1 ATS playing in the two-day rest scenario going back to March of 22. But that was also when the Hornets were a really bad basketball team. This is not a really bad basketball team. We talked about this several times now in the last couple of days. Where if you flip a couple of things, they lost 3 consecutive games basically at the buzzer. I mean, come on, that's absolutely absurd. That's really bad luck. They are seconds away from being in first place in that division. And I have a bet coming up on them at 4-1 in pocket that I'll tell you about in about 10 minutes. But I also think this number is a little bit light on Cleveland. They just played. I know Charlotte beat them last month, but they were laying 9.5, 10 in that game. Now, the Cavaliers are the single worst team at covering numbers in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get behind them here in this game, 2.5 or 3?
I like the Charlotte team. I like how they're playing.
Oh, I love them.
Again, the luck factor, again, as we've talked about, how bad they are in clutch games, but you're making the case for the playoffs and also the play-in. I like the play-in bet that's available at DraftKings, but I think there'll be a ton of points scored in this game, and I can't back Cleveland the way they're playing and also the disconnect with the head coach and the unthinkable here with these top two teams that we thought in the East and we're going to run away with it and meet in the conference finals, which could still happen, I guess. But the Cleveland could be a 7 or an 8 seed after how many games they won last year and only 4 games over at this point and how bad the Knicks have been.
That's fair. If you don't want to, like, if you don't trust them at this point, I would also say you probably don't trust the Knicks in their current state, right?
No way.
Laying 12.5 tonight?
Yeah. No, I would love to play against them tonight, but it's the, I'll be careful here with the players-only meeting to see if that helped. But to lose a 9 of 11 and to get blasted at Sacramento laying doubles and to be laying 12 on MLK against Dallas and you're down 30 and you're booed off the floor at halftime.
No, you're never in the game.
They're all over towns now too. So this has just been ugly for the Knicks. But it's a good in-play game. But another way to come back at it, even if they win, is to play against them Saturday when they go to Philly. And Philly has owned them this year. Kuzma, 12-1 underrun with threes. McBride, 12-2 overrun. McBride, 11-3 overrun PRA. Cam Thomas for the Nets, 7-1 underrun with assists. You know, he's a Costanza, he's a chucker as well. Always check out those props at the VSiN Prop Analyzer.
I was betting McBride a couple of times, but that was also when they had injuries. Like that specifically when Hart was out, and I think somebody else is out for the Knicks as well. And when I want to be a part of him, now that guys have come back, I really don't want to in that spot. But they've also lost 9 of 11, 4 straight games. This is from Steve Mackin and VSiN.com. Teams having lost their last 4 games or more have been awesome when they're laying double digits, again, which is what they're doing tonight, laying 12. 15-1 straight up. Okay, no surprise. So they're winning the games. But also 12-3-1 ATS laying those big numbers. They've also dominated Brooklyn going back last 12 games, 12-0 straight up, 8-3-1 ATS. This is a game I was talking about before the commercial to pay it off. Favorites between the Thunder and the Bucks are on a 14-0 straight up run, 12-1-1 ATS. Oklahoma City is also 62-35-3 ATS playing with a one-day rest scenario since April of 2024. They were the one seed that year. So you know that they've been laying huge numbers the entire time, but still getting the job done against the number. And Milwaukee in this situation, one day rest at home, 22-6 over the total.
Open 9 up to 11.5. And as I said last week, keep playing against the Bucks. They got the win on Monday, but think of what occurred. They won by 2, and Atlanta started 0 of 21 from 3. Embarrassed at home by Minnesota, who has their issues, especially on the road. In that game, Edwards and Gobert did not play, and the Bucks were down 30. At half there.
Yeah.
That's when Giannis says, don't boo us. I'll boo back. And then they went to San Antonio and got blasted. It was a misleading score. They were down 30 in that game. So it's and now the threes haven't been falling for OKC, and opponents have been shooting much better from three against the Thunder. But now it seems they're back to their old ways and blowing people out. So they could maybe name their score tonight.
I wonder if the Bucks at home, and that game against the Timberwolves was not that long ago. Did they come out against the best team in the league, the champs, with a ton of pride tonight, make it close in the first quarter? And then if that's the case, I would absolutely be looking to play Oklahoma City in play. Like, let's say the Bucks led at the end of the first quarter. You can get a much better number than 11.5. Well, I won't say much better. You'll get a better number. And then the route could be on after that. Like, I don't. Maybe the Bucks can play with them for a 10 or 12 minute stretch, but over the course of 48 minutes, this team should get.
Yeah. Well, I like what Matt Eumanns and Kazarian always say about the NBA. Don't do anything pre-flop. You're going to get a better number in play. But this is a case where they just come out and open up a can right away.
Yeah.
And you're never going to be able to get that. But, you know, what's it going to go crazy in play if they're out to a 12-2 lead? What do you want to do with Atlanta and Memphis?
Well, first game back for Memphis with their European trip.
Yes.
So.
And now Ja's playing nice. actually played well in that London game. But they're trying to move him, and then maybe they blow this up entirely.
Do you want to look at the under?
That has moved 6 points to the over. It opened 234. It's up to 240. It's here at Circa.
Right. So do you want to, they're back first time, little lethargical here tonight?
I know.
And you're going against the move as well?
Yeah. Maybe the market's wrong there.
And it's also a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Do the Hawks figure this out sooner than later?
How about that? All the hype with this team. Five games under 500, and another one's Orlando.
And how bad Carroll hasn't played.
Yes.
Yeah.
They make the big trade to get Bane, and they've been circling the drain around 500 much of the year.
So I'm telling you, if the Hornets did not blow some of those games, they'd be right there to win this division.
Yep.
But I think the Hawks are going to be a better team coming up very soon. So
yeah, that I'll agree with.
I think I might play them tonight. That might be a bet for me.
Jonathan Davis has a 4-star play tonight. 4-unit play on a prop.
A 4-unit play?
4-unit play on a prop coming up. It's our guy we've been talking about for a couple weeks.
Okay. All right. I'll give you this too. Trey Murphy for the Pelicans in January.
Could be traded. Another one.
Oh, this is a good player.
Yeah.
29 points per game. He's taken 12.33 point. He has taken more than 12 three attempts in the last month, making 5 a game. It's 2.5 tonight, about $1.80. Or you can go 3.5 over that with the plus money. We'll get to our in-pocket plays coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're on.
All right. McJesus did it again. 4 shots on goal. 13 in a row at home. Love to play streaks, especially in hockey. And that leads us to another one in a second. And a big play up on the website, VSiN.com. The pending Patriots, every which way but loose again. They've been so good in the first half. Cooper Kupp over, 24.5 receiving yards. Good breakdown from Chad Andrus yesterday. Covers the Broncos. Thinks Henry can have a big game. Look at what the Bills tight ends did. In the middle of the field should be open for May and Henry. He's reasonably priced in the mid-40s. Patriots first half, money line. Patriots first half, ATS. 16-3 ATS on the season, and an incredible 17-1-1 on the money line for the Pats. We did get a couple good emails, though, about after we played that Jordan Palmer audio. I'd rather take 5 than with Stidham than lay 1.5 with Knicks.
Yeah, okay.
Certainly see that argument. So here's a good write-up at VSiN.com and something that Jonathan Davis put us on. Mikhail Sergachev, defenseman, Utah Mammoth, home games only. Over 1.5 shots on goal, 21-1 overrun. $1.35 today. That is nuts. And I give him full marks for going back, even when we were talking Stanley Cup Finals last year, where we had that Ekholm block shots prop stuff. I mean, that he was on like a 22-2 run or something with what he was doing. So that is wild. Let's keep it going with the McDavid and the Sergachev. And it's up at books now. Puka. They have 5 yards rushing. $1.15. 1, maybe 2, maybe 3 carries. The attempts that maybe gets 2 end arounds in the NFC title game. But Puka to have 5 rushing yards coming up Sunday. Good luck, everyone.
All right. The results from last night. Arkansas money line over Vandy. Those are the kind of games that you like to have bets on.
Blowout.
I was all over the map last night with the bets. They led the entire way by double digits, won by like 30. Grayson Allen did it again, over 2.5 threes. That, by the way, the Phoenix Suns, this just in, breaking news, they're a really good basketball team. And the Suns should have been a big bet yesterday because the Sixers eventually were without Embiid and Paul George, and they were down early, and they came roaring back to win the game by 6. I was hoping the Lakers would lose that game because I also have Suns to win that division, but I was on the Nuggets plus 3 last night. This is the perils of betting the NBA at times. So the good and the bad, right? The Arkansas was the good in college. The bad, Denver leading by 14 at halftime. Absolutely destroyed second half. Couldn't cover plus 3. And I apologize for the Timberwolves play. I talked about it for almost a week.
First quarter got there.
But again, up by 12 into the third quarter, they lost the game outright. They would they give up like a 50 spot to Utah in the fourth quarter?
Who else? You know George is going to go off. The key guys are sitting.
No
marketing. The one guy you got to guard.
Right. I did point out the one thing I was scared of. I wish it was another team power rated at the same level as Minnesota yesterday because that team can lose to bad teams like that. And so anyway, that was no good with the result. Moving forward here. With the bets, I got Sam Hauser tonight. You can get this right now. DK has it at minus 110. Other spots as well, over 2.5 made threes. Broke this down earlier this hour. And the play-in game right now available. Hornets to make it at 4-1. Sign me up. They're only a couple of back. I don't really trust any of the teams ahead of them. And they are, again, very close to like leading the division right now. So they were. Anyway, a couple of things go their way. Some of their lineups that we played, that soundbite from JBT earlier, which you can go get the pod of the futures that we talked about on Tuesday. Their lineups are elite with the core three and then other guys that surround them. They just got to clean it up at the end of games.
Very good. Mike Paul mentioned the Rangers. Updated numbers hockey. Goal in the first 10 overall. Rangers 7 in a row. Seattle 11 of 12. Flyers 8 of 9. On the road, Seattle 6 in a row. Rangers 4 in a row. Nashville 11 of 12. Calgary and Ottawa 6 of 7. At home, Seattle 5 in a row. Buffalo 9 of 10. Vegas 10 of 12. Getting ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to Max. Save $60 off the VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code FTM. All the betting guides, the picks for the Super Bowl, the props, AI-powered prop tools, betting splits, every pick, every host, every guest, VSiN.com/subscribe. Get in now on this big game deal. Promo code FTM. Number one team of the over, Anaheim 32-17, Montreal 32-18-1. Likewise, the Jets. Rangers, 9 of the last 10 have gone over. Buffalo, 8 of the last 9. Thanks to Jonathan Davis and Ian Duncan does a great job, and Chris Otto as well with the first period stuff and the goal in the first 10.
Do you want the Puka Nacua rushing attempts prop? Because it's available in a couple of spots right now.
So last week it was 1.5 over. Nice money at plus price.
Yeah. Same thing right now.
How juicy?
It's 1.5 over is plus 140. If you want to bet under that, it's minus 190. Does he get two?
I think he can get two again.
Oh, but the Seahawks are so good on the edge.
Yeah.
We saw that creativity. I actually thought it was a good play call from Shanahan.
Sniffed it right out.
It was the fullback handoff, which turned into an option play. And you're like, okay. If that was a video game play, I think it would work. Against the Seahawks, had zero chance of going anywhere. What are you seeing in terms of overall predictions so far?
ESPN.com, they asked for some bold predictions.
Bold, okay.
Ravens trade Lamar Jackson to the Raiders. This pairing has made it through the rumor mill, and multiple people who track such things use this also as their bold prediction.
For what in return?
Will he get this extension? And also the relationship went sour with the coaching staff. There's been some consternation there with Lamar and the Ravens. This would be the ultimate Mark Davis move. I'm not even convinced everyone in Vegas would be on board, but it would solve their quarterback problems.
Okay, did they give up the first overall pick for him? Did they mention, like, players that would go Baltimore's
they did not.
Way?
They did not. Eagles trade. This is I
would not give up the number one pick for Lamar Jackson.
No. I love this. Eagles trade A.J. Brown to the Bills. They can actually save $7 million on the cap by trading Brown after June 1st.
Bills
have to upgrade their best receiver, Shakir. Nice, but not a top guy. Brown an immediate upgrade, turns 29 in June. Eagles think build their passing game, still around Smith a high pick, and you have Goddard.
I would not do that if I'm Buffalo.
All right.
I would look for another wide receiver. We just talked about this. They traded for Diggs. Head case. A.J. Yeah. Brown's worse. Can you find a wide receiver with a head on his shoulders?
Mm-hmm. Malik Willis to the Dolphins or Browns?
Oh, God, please not Cleveland.
The Browns have picking 6th and 24th in the first round.
Well, they're not going to give up a first-round pick for him, but...
No, but that also goes into what could they do in the draft. Yes. Yeah.
Then they obviously, Malik Willis to the Browns. Who's the coach?
No kidding. Who wants that job? I don't mind the fit in Miami. Here's another one. Geno Smith, Tua, Kyler Murray, all made available for the Jets. All three quarterbacks appear not to be long-term plans of their current franchises, but they are each former Pro Bowlers, and several teams have a glaring need at the quarterback position. Do the Jets get one of these three? A AFC executive said, I think they get one of them. Also, you have a coach that needs to win in year two. Miami and Arizona are settled with large guarantees on deals with Tua and Murray. Murray would make more sense to New York, given Tua's ties to the AFC East and his issues in the cold.
I got to bring this up. If Stidham looks good against the Patriots, they win that game and he's more than serviceable in the Super Bowl, how is he not starting over any three of those quarterbacks next year?
Yeah.
Right? You're telling me that if Stidham can actually go out there and play, Geno Smith should be a starter over Stidham? In what world? Absolutely under zero circumstance should that be a thing.
I don't want any part of Geno Smith.
Never. No, he's done.
I wouldn't mind if I'm up against it. I wouldn't mind Kyler Murray. If the Jets, that'd be a good fit for the Jets as opposed to what they have now with Cook. Fields, come on. Tyrod Taylor.
I don't like any of them for the Jets.
Well, I'd rather have Murray. At least I have a chance with Murray. Guy's made the playoffs, at least.
Well, I think Smith can no way know how to be a starter. Kyler Murray is not very good. And Tua, I don't know what to say about him. I'd like to see a second chance. But I also think there's an angle where, like, the head injuries, the concussions, and the lack of, like, arm right now is not a very good thing for him anywhere he goes. So,
and maybe the Yudinsky hype is and the move is could be wrong. Now there's a report maybe Schwartz gets the deal with Cleveland. Now hire Jim Schwartz.
Well, if Schwartz goes there, it'd be a huge mistake to bring in Malik Willis. You would need an offensive guy there to actually try to make that work. Unless they bring in a dynamite offensive coordinator, but...
Yeah. Never stops, man. This is great. News every day, predictions, what could happen. Bizarre press conference, another one. Lynch today said Ayuk has played his last down for the Niners.
Wow, had to have, right? Dan Lemberfeld on the program coming up next. He covers the Jets and the NFL. We'll ask him if the Bills made a mistake here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So much NFL to get into here. Wasting no time, we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Dan Lemberfeld joins the program now at Jets Whispers on X, Jets Confidential Magazine. Also co-host of press coverage on Sirius XM NFL Radio Saturdays from 10 until 2 Eastern. He was in studio with us here in Las Vegas last week. Pleasure to meet you back then. Dan, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always awesome to be on with you guys.
So you cover the Jets, but you cover the entire league as well, and you're very close to like their teams inside their own division. We had the news obviously earlier in the week, and it continues to like go downhill the way it seems. Bad way here for the Bills after Pegula was talking today. You think they made a mistake by firing McDermott?
Well, I think we have to see when the other shoe drops as far as hire and where this goes. I understand both sides of the argument. When you look at the fact the owner's saying, maybe we plateaued in the playoffs, maybe we need to try something different to take the next step. I can understand that thinking. Mm-hmm. I also can understand that McDermott is a guy that's won a lot there, and he turned around their culture, he turned around their team. But the thing about it is their defense continues to disappoint. And I just wonder if McDermott's system was the best one for that place. He always went with 220-pound linebackers that always got hurt, like Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano and Dorian Williams. and they would get gashed against the run because the linebackers were too small. Another problem for McDermott and Bean as far as that defense was they were always picking at the end of the first round because of their success. And when you're picking corners at the end of the first round, like Maxwell Hairston and Kyrie Elam, you're not going to get the best corners. So I think sometimes when you have that issue as far as being successful and having to pick in the late 20s or early 30s in the first round, it's hard to get those difference makers.
So then when you look at the odds board, prediction markets globally, I think maybe DraftKings has it up in a couple of states as well. The short shot to become the next Bills head coach is Brian Daboll. He's around even money, minus 115 in that neighborhood. Does that make sense to you? Like, is that the direction you think you're going to go in, or would you look at somebody else?
Well, I think if you could get Daboll, that would make a little sense. Buffalo native. Obviously, he and Josh Allen have a great relationship. He's a guy that learned a lot the first time around working with the New York Football Giants. We've seen these coaches who get a second bite at the apple, you know, like a Pete Carroll. You know, he failed with the Jets and obviously went to USC, but then did well with the Seahawks. You look at Bill Belichick going from Cleveland to the New England Patriots. I think Daboll learned a lot in the New York market. I think he'd do better the second time around, but the key would be who is he going to bring along as his defensive coordinator? Because Sean McDermott's a very good defensive coach, don't get me wrong, but they got to fix that side of the ball and stop forcing Josh Allen to win shootouts.
Totally agree. Excellent. The Giants won the press conference. Are they going to win games this upcoming year? What do you think of the Giants getting Harbaugh?
I think it's a great hire. It's certainly a situation that in New York here, and I'm in New Jersey, but the New York market, it's certainly a slam dunk. The fans are excited around here. The question is always the quarterback position. What do they have in Jackson Dart? I know people talk in the way that I didn't understand before this hire. Like, this is a desirable job because they have a quarterback. Do they have a quarterback? I heard someone say that about Robert Saleh getting the Tennessee job. They said, unlike the Jets job, he has a quarterback. You're going to sit here and tell me for sure Cam Ward is the answer? You're going to sit here and tell me for sure that Jackson Dart is the answer? I think they both showed promise, but I don't think either one of them is a slam dunk. So if he gets good quarterback play, I think Harbaugh will do very well here. But who knows truly at this point who Jackson Dart is? And you have to be concerned. Five trips to the blue tent this past year for the football Giants, plays kind of a reckless style. Was in that blue tent too much.
By the way, one thing on this team for next year, there was an offshore book that came out with their win total already. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
8.5.
Oh, wow. Come on.
I mean, that feels just like super aggressive already.
Yeah. Slow starts.
Yeah, that seems a little high. I just don't know what to expect from Jackson Dart. I don't trust quarterbacks at Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin when he was there, because you look at Matt Corral and you wonder, the system sets up these guys. You guys do a lot of college football talk. So many one read and run quarterbacks that can't translate to the NFL. You know, maybe it's a situation where Dart's better, but I saw Dart, even though he showed a lot of moxie, fixating on that first read an awful lot in year one. Let's see if he's a guy who can go through his progressions. Don't trust a lot of system quarterbacks making the jump to the college level because they're not very good at going through progressions doing college.
Okay, Stan Pat, we're going to reconnect. Dan Leberfeld, our guest, covers the Jets and the National Football League. Jets Confidential Magazine, also press coverage, SiriusXM NFL, Saturdays from 10 until 2 Eastern time. So there's a lot to get into with him yet. He brought up Saleh. I can't wait to hear what his thoughts are on him getting another job here already to Tennessee.
I know. He was the first guy. The first time we talked to him, though, was this. He was ripping the Jets' defense.
Yeah.
This is when they had Saleh, though, how overrated it was, especially the poor run defense that they had.
In some of those early years, they did have good numbers overall, but I think it got worse. And I brought this up to you the other day. I got to bring it up to Dan. I mean, Saleh did assume that he was going to have Aaron Rodgers to work with. And then four games in, Achilles is blown, and holy crap, now I have to go to work with Zach Wilson.
Yes.
And somehow, would they win that year? Seven games? I'd actually say that's kind of a win for the team. So I know that Dan's also going to be high in McDaniel. Watched him a lot with those Jets and Dolphins games when they were playing. the creativity that he brought, not necessarily a good head coach, but I'm going to assume that he's high on him getting the OC job with the Chargers. That, to me, just feels like a massive win with L.A. Don't you think? Harbaugh, the head coach, now McDaniel as the O.C.?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, so Dan Leverfeld rejoins us on the Progressive Guest Line. You brought up Saleh getting the job in Tennessee. You covered that guy for a couple of years, obviously, when he was with the Jets. Did you like it overall that they went that direction, or were you surprised that he got a gig already this quickly?
Yeah, I was a surprise, but he's a guy that's going to win the interview. He's a charismatic guy. When owners do interviews a lot, I don't know what they focus on, but they're not focused on things that football people are focused on. And Robert Saleh has a great personality. He's going to connect with the owner. He's very personable. I thought that Matt Nagy would be the better choice there because they kind of need an offensive whiz to work with the quarterback. Here's the thing with Robert Saleh. He didn't do a great job with the accountability in New York and the discipline. And I thought one of the reasons he was successful with the 49ers as defensive coordinator, because if he could just focus on the X's and O's, he's fine. And Shanahan can be the bad cop. Mm-hmm. When he has to be the bad cop and pull players from games, I know they pulled a player in the last game. That's not Robert's wiring. So that would be my concern with him. I think that he can call a good defense, but will he hold players accountable? Didn't do a great job with that in New York.
What are you hearing on Nagy then? Is maybe he seems like he's running out of spots here.
Yeah, I think Nagy's a really good candidate. What, do you have that 1 year in Chicago where he won 13, 14 games and he really didn't have a great quarterback situation there? Yeah, he's running out of spots. I don't know where he's going to end up. I think he's an underrated candidate. And once again, I would have gone with him in Tennessee. But once again, these owners, you can look at the Jets with Aaron Glenn. When owners do interviews, guys, what are they really asking? What are they really focusing on? Do they really know how to judge the candidate from a pure football standpoint, or they get into a personality contest?
Sure, sure. Would you give the Chargers an A-plus for getting McDaniel as OC?
Oh, that's a tremendous move. I've covered so many Jets-Dolphins games in the AFC East. He might not be a great head coach, but man, can he call plays. I remember after the Jets-Dolphins game this year, I'm in the tunnel waiting for the players to come off, and I was talking to John Kinjemi. You remember him? A Pitt quarterback from a long time ago. He's in the media down in Miami. I go, man, can that guy call plays. With all the misdirection and the eye candy that gets defensive players out of position, man, is he good at that stuff. And you saw like that game late in the year against Buffalo where the Dolphins blew out the Bills. He is a really good player, Carl. I don't think he's a great head coach, but man, can he set up misdirection plays like nobody's business.
Okay. So you'd only say arrow pointing up towards LA going into next season with that hire.
Oh, no question about it. He's a heck of a play caller. We'll see if they keep Jesse Minter on the defensive side of the ball. But I really think that when you look at going, nothing against Greg Roman, I think he's a solid coach, but Greg Roman's kind of an old school offensive coordinator. And I think when you hire McDaniel, you're going to that next level of modern offensive football, like you saw with Ben Johnson in Chicago, Kellen Moore in New Orleans, and Liam Cohn in Jacksonville. You saw the job those guys did. I think that McDaniel can have that kind of impact on Herbert.
Kind of the way I'm looking at it as well. I know we had a connection problem there, Dan, but if you don't mind, hang tight and stick with us here for a couple more minutes because we want to get into the Jets moving forward and think of, he actually thinks this is possible, right? Could the Jets do the unthinkable and call the Raiders about the number one overall pick? Your early thoughts on that coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. More NFL. We continue with Dan Leverfeld, kind enough to hang out with us for another segment. Follow him on X at Jets Whispers, Jets Confidential Magazine, press coverage radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio Saturdays from 10 until 2 Eastern Time. All right, so we tease this before the break. Do you think it's actually reasonable to think the Jets could do the unthinkable? Reasonable to do the unthinkable and call the Raiders about the number one overall pick?
Well, I think they'll call for sure. I mean, it's no secret the Jets need a quarterback, but the problem is Jets have so many other needs. This is the worst defense that I covered for the Jets in my 30 years covering the team. I think I said that to you guys last week, perhaps. They have so many needs on defense, and they have four amazing picks. They have four picks in the top 44. So two in the first round, then two at the top of the second round. You could get four starters doing that. And I don't know if Mendoza is that good that you want to trade some of that draft capital to move up one spot. You know, maybe you stay put. I know you guys might not love Ty Simpson, but maybe Ty Simpson is a Bo Nix kind of quarterback that you get in the teens who's a little undervalued. Maybe he was hurt by the fact that the Alabama Crimson Tide didn't have much of a running game this year. Maybe you put him on a team with a running game. The Jets certainly can do that. Breece Hall went for 1,000 yards with no passing offense this year. So to me, maybe Ty Simpson is 16 and maybe Arvell Reese, the edge rusher at 2. I just think the Jets need to keep those four picks and get four starters. They have so many needs across the board on offense and defense, but especially on defense.
Good answer. I feel the same way with the Raiders. That's why I would trade down. I'm with you. I'm not sold on Mendoza either. And if they could do that, if the Jets pick up the phone as well. How about the rumors with Davis Webb? You said something interesting last segment about the young play callers and what Cohen did at Jacksonville. Would an NFL owner hire a 30-year-old to be his coach?
Well, I think it's a copycat league. And when you saw what some of these young coaches who made their bones on the offensive side of the ball. When you look at Liam Cohen in Jacksonville, where Trevor Lawrence was treading water and all of a sudden, boom, has a breakout year with unbelievably good play calling by Liam Cohen. Ben Johnson does it with Caleb Williams in Chicago and to a degree, Kellen Moore with Tyler Shuck in New Orleans. You know, when the Jets hired Aaron Glenn, there was some criticism from some guys I know cover the team saying, you know, you're going with a defensive coach, 3 yards on a cloud of dust. That's not where the league is trending. All the rules favor the offense. And some of these young offensive coordinators, it's like they're playing Madden, the way they manipulate defenses and find the open guys. And what they do is they make it so easy on the quarterback because they call games like a college OC where the first read is often open. And, you know, so many of these college quarterbacks are one read and run. And when you look at what Johnson did in Chicago and Liam Cohen did in Jacksonville, I think some teams in a copycat league might want to go down that road, bring in a Davis Webb and have him do that with their quarterback. But if you bring up Davis Webb with Buffalo, they don't really need that for their quarterback. Maybe other teams do, but when you look at Buffalo, they need to fix that defense and they need to get a good offensive coach, but they don't need an offensive coordinator who's going to have to manufacture production for their quarterback. And that's what guys like Cohn and Johnson can do for quarterbacks trying to take that next step. Manufacture production with great play calling.
Okay. So, you know, this is a gambling network and most people who we have talked to so far, odds makers, bettors, et cetera, they have made the case that the point spread movement from the look ahead line when Denver was 1.5 against New England to like 6, which is no longer available, but 5 was way too big of an adjustment. And for the most part, again, they have faith in Jared Stidham coming in for one game anyway and being okay with a chance to win this for Denver. Do you feel the same way for those people who you talk to as well? Are they feeling the same way?
Well, I think that Denver has a good chance to win this game when you look at it from a few different perspectives. Denver has the best pass rush in the league, what, 71 sacks on the regular season. New England's offensive line is struggling, and New England's offensive line was struggling at home. You take an offensive line struggling, and you put them on the road in one of the loudest stadiums in the league. I always bring up this anecdote I might have brought up to you guys. In that press box in Denver, I have to put a cap on my water because the table's shaking, and I think the water's going to spill on my keyboard. That's how loud, that's how raucous that place is. It's loud, it shakes, and you take left tackle Will Campbell, who's not playing well in the playoffs. You put him against Nick Benito in one of the loudest places in the league. It's not just that it's loud. That's a really good defense under Vance Joseph, who could get a head coaching job. And there's another matchup issue. Right next to Will Campbell, you have another rookie, Jared Wilson, on the offensive line. Zach Allen, one of the best defensive tackles in the league, doesn't get enough attention for his work, the kid out of Boston College. So that left side of the line, I don't trust it on the road. Benito against Campbell. You know, when Campbell is in the draft, and I'm sure you guys did a lot of props on where Will Campbell would go. Remember all the talk about the short arms guys?
Yep.
That's a thing, man. I know people think, oh, that's stupid, short arms. Yeah, 33-inch arms are a problem at left tackle because you don't win the leverage game with 33-inch arms. He's having a problem there. He had a problem in the first round against Owe, the Chargers edge rusher, and then he had a problem against Will Anderson and against Houston. So what makes you think going on the road where he's going to have a hard time hearing the snap count, hard time thinking, going against Benito, you think that's going to go well?
Okay. Fair enough. So you think they're live for sure. What about the other game? Who do you like to come out of that?
Well, you know, when you hear Sean McVay talking during the week, early in the week, that he took the blame for the play calling in the Rams' last game, that it wasn't very good, you know he's going to have the mother of all game plans this week. And here's the thing. We all know Seattle's defense is great. But who put up over 500 yards against that defense and won the turnover battle by a plus three in that game? They lost in overtime. But I know Seattle's a really good defense. But I think McVay and Stafford have a good feeling for it. And if anyone's going to move the ball and put up points and yards against Seattle, it's that team. And with Sam Darnold, yes, I'm not getting into the, is the other shoe going to drop with Sam Darnold? You know, I covered him. He's a great kid. He always says the right thing. He always does the right thing. Is he a top-tier quarterback? No, you have to manage the game with him. But I'm worried about that oblique a little bit. That kind of thing doesn't go away that fast. Probably took a Toradol shot before the last game. Probably have to take another one. Who knows if that thing will act up again? I think it was kind of touch and go before the last game. So you got Sam Darnold with the oblique. You have a team that certainly can move the ball on a very good defense. I would consider that game a toss-up. I could see it going either way because I think the Rams are a team that can move the ball on a defense that most teams in this league struggle doing so this year.
Fair, no doubt. You got to be freaked out by the special teams edge, though, right?
You're talking about the issues?
With the Rams, yeah.
I mean the Rams special teams issues.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They fired their special teams coach in season, Blackburn, and they hired a guy that I covered with the Jets, Ben Kotwika, a great story, was an Apache helicopter pilot in Iraq, in Afghanistan, went to Army, played at Army. So when they fired their special teams coach and promoted Kotwika, it wasn't like they were hiring an assistant special teams coach. This guy has been a head special teams coach all over the league with Washington, with the Jets, and he's a guy that was in the Army. He's got an organized unit. I think that wasn't one of those situations where you're just promoting an assistant who never did it before. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been a upgrade.
Okay. Dan, thanks so much for the time today. Try to stay warm back in New York. We appreciate it.
Okay, just a little above zero here, so enjoy your weather out there.
Sounds fun.
Oh, doubt.
There you go. You can follow Dan on X at Jets Whispers and Jets Confidential Magazine.
Snow and cold in Dallas-Fort Worth as well. Imagine, you were there for the Super Bowl, right?
When the ice storm.
Couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Couldn't drive.
It took, I don't remember exactly how long it is from like where we stayed, I think, with downtown Dallas to the actual stadium. I think, from what I was told, in general, no traffic. That might be a half an hour. We were on the shuttle buses with a police escort.
With a police escort.
Which is crazy to me.
I know.
15 miles an hour, maybe. Yeah. Tops. That's how bad it was. Anyway, so...
Yep.
No, I don't want it. I never want to live in those conditions ever again. I made that decision in my early 20s.
Everyone's getting hit with it this weekend. Well, it might be an upgrade, but still you had the disaster against Carolina too. So, and then Shahid's returning kicks every game.
Boy, is that guy dangerous.
No doubt. Don't even mess around. Right through the end zone. Don't get cute. Don't even mess around.
No, you have to do that. And also, but if I'm Seattle, you're going to have stuff dialed up for Shahid in this game.
You better.
You're designing plays that can go a long, long ways. That's in the running game, by the way.
Yeah.
And if he gets, you know, a couple, like two, that. Three targets as well. Well, you have to look at him rushing yards.
Yep.
You can probably find a head-to-head, by the way. That would be a good prop for Mark, for books to put up.
Yeah.
Head-to-head rushing yards. Who's going to have more, Shaheed or Nakua?
Well, the other thing, too, like Ozzie said to the commercial break, there's going to be the passes behind the line of scrimmage to Puka, too.
Oh, yep.
Count that.
Stay tuned. It's Wednesdays. Matt Brown, Mike Somich on primetime for 4 hours into Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson. Best of luck with your bets tonight.